Thank you, Mrs. Gladue. Turn your Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter number 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7, as we look at the fifth of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Thank the Lord for God's mercy. The Bible tells us of the wonderful mercy of our God. As we think of the Scriptures, the Bible reminds us a number of places. As we think about what it means to be merciful, our first thought has to be upon the mercy of God as a means of teaching us and instructing us as to the real core truths about the mercy of God. Luke chapter 1 tells us about the mercy of God in sending Jesus Christ to this earth. Luke chapter 1 and verse number 78. The context, it says, "And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest," speaking of John the Baptist, "for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us." Thinking of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth is certainly a great revelation of the mercy of God. A world going its own way, a world in darkness, a world full of sin, a world full of idolatry. And God, in His mercy, sends His Son to die on the cross for our sin. The mercy of God. Psalm 103 speaks about God's mercy. Let's turn there for a minute as we think of God's mercy. Psalm 103. Psalm 103, we'll look at a few verses here. Verse number 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy to them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. for the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and those that remember his commandments to do them. As we think of the mercy of God, we think of the fact that God pities man and his sinful condition and the results of his sin. And God did something about it. He sent his Son to die for our sin. He pities man in his sinful condition. And he did something about it. He sent his Son. And he is ready to forgive if men will repent of their sin and turn to him. The mercy of God. The people of Israel were aware of the constant blessed truth that God was merciful. 2 Chronicles chapter 30. As Hezekiah is encouraging the people of Israel to turn from their sin and turn from their wicked ways and to turn from their false religion and the lifestyle that went with it, he sends a decree throughout the land of the people to turn back to God. Notice what he says, 2 Chronicles 30, verse 5. So they established a decree to make proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba unto Dan, even unto Dan, that they should come to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem. For they had not done it of a long time in such sort as it was written. So the post went with the letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, and according to the commandment of the king, saying, Ye children of Israel, turn again unto the Lord, to the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return to the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hand of the kings of Assyria. And be not like your fathers and like your brethren, which trespassed against the Lord God of their fathers, who therefore gave them up to desolation, as ye now see. Now be not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord and enter into his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn from you. For if ye turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them to captive, so that they shall come again unto this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and he will not turn away his face from you if ye return unto him. The precious truth of the mercy of God. The precious truth that God is not desirous to give us what we deserve, but he is desirous in his mercy to forgive us. Wonderful truth of the mercy of God. Aren't you glad that God pities us as sinners? Aren't you glad that God is anxious, and the very nature of God is that he is merciful and desirous to forgive those that will turn from their sin and turn to him. As the psalmist said, for he is plenteous in his mercy. God is merciful. I think of 1 John 1:9. But God, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. You know, we take that often for granted, don't we? We take that for granted, the mercy of God in our behalf. And so we find, as we think of the of this great beatitude, it says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall find mercy. We see, with as we look at the Lord himself, we see an inner disposition of mercy. You know, I think it would be good for us to think about what did men do as we think about the repentant publican. What was in his mind when he turned to God to be saved from his sin? Luke chapter 18 and verse 13. Luke chapter 18 and verse 9. The Bible tells us that Jesus spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Here's a parable. It was real to life. It was a statement of normalcy. It says, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, saying, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And there he acted upon the mercy of God. He acted upon the mercy of God and called upon God to be merciful to him. If we look at the parable that we read this morning, the parable of the Good Samaritan, we find this as a definition of what it means to love your neighbor. In Luke chapter number 10, there's a man who came to Jesus. And Jesus was answering and quizzing this man whether he had truly kept the commandment to love your neighbor as yourself. And of course we know the parable here, how that there is a man went from Jerusalem to Jericho, and thieves were laying in wait for anybody who would come across that way, and robbed him, beat him up, and wounded him, and left him, so to speak, to die. And there was a priest a man of God, came that way. And he came upon this man, looked upon him, and went on the other side of the road. Now there's another holy man, a Levite came, and the Bible tells us that he too saw this man, saw him laying there, and he made sure that he went to the other side of the road. Why do you think he went to the other side of the road? So he could pretend like he didn't see him. So he could be free from any obligation that he might have to this person. And then the Bible tells us there was a Samaritan. And Samaritans were not well-liked because they were half-breed Jews. They had intermarried with the Gentiles. They had their own religion. They rejected worship at Jerusalem. So they were not considered to be good people. And the Samaritan, when he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, brought him to the inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he was departed, he took out 2 pence, that's 2 days' wages, and gave to the innkeeper. And he says, take care of him, and if there's any other expense when I come back, I'll pay you. Jesus answered the question. Says, which one of these was the neighbor? Answering the question, love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, the one that showed mercy. The one that showed mercy. The one who had pity on his condition and did something about it. Someone who, this man had pity on his condition and did something about it. We find that mercy is the characteristic of God. We find that mercy is a part of the definition of what it means to love your neighbor. We find that mercy is an inward disposition. And we'll see that mercy now is also a result of a transformation. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, the Lord is telling a story in answer to Peter's question, verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? 3 times. Strike one. Strike 2, strike 3, you're out. Is that what it says? Peter said, till 7 times? Certainly 7 times. That's enough. And Jesus said, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Because he's saying that mercy is not an action as much as it is an inward disposition or attitude of the heart. And so then he gives this story. Verse 23. Therefore in the kingdom of heaven, like unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. A talent is somewhere around 60 pounds. So you do the math. 10,000 talents. Millions of dollars. Millions. And for as much as he had nothing to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have mercy with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. Now, 100 pence might be a 100 days' wages. That's pretty significant. But nothing like millions and millions and millions of dollars. Unless you're a stockbroker or something like that. But obviously, the comparison was 10,000s and thousands more. And he saw this person owed this very little. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told their Lord what was done. Then his Lord, after he had been called, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Here we find a revelation of what mercy is. Mercy is really an attitude of the heart that comes from true repentance. When someone repents, they are coming to grips with what they deserve. When someone repents, they are coming to grips with who they are. When someone repents, they are admitting the truth about the sinfulness of their sin. And so when they repent, they are well aware of what their sin and their actions deserve. The Bible says the wage of sin is death. The Bible tells us that our sin makes us worthy of hell and the judgment of hell. When we become aware of our sin, we become like David, who said, "Lord, against thee have I sinned. I have purposely, willingly done this evil against you." It wasn't an accident. It wasn't a mistake. I just didn't get caught in a bad place. I sinned. The picture of the two men here shows us that when someone is truly forgiven, they become aware of the greatness of what they have been forgiven of. The implication here is, as we already know, that it is transforming. It is a transforming truth. The mercy of God, the forgiveness of God, experiencing His forgiveness in salvation by turning from our sin and turning to Christ for salvation, even as the publican said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Their implication is what we know it to be true. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The implication is now there is a transformation that has taken place. And what is that transformation? The transformation is the fact that we have been transformed by the mercy of God. We have been transformed by the mercy of God. Obviously, there's two applications, more than two. Those who have experienced God's mercy that selfish, vindictive, payback spirit has been broken. That spirit of ultimate justice for me which is blind to our own sin, that spirit is broken in Jesus Christ. That spirit is broken. And so, as implied by this parable, how do they see others? What is the root principle of mercy? How do they see others? I think there's a couple of principles there. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. "And you hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." The Bible pictures people who are lost as dead in trespasses and sins. The Bible pictures people who know not Christ as being the slaves to sin. The Bible pictures people who are unsaved. It pictures them as people who are captured by sin, who can't do any different. The Bible says the person who has truly experienced the mercy of God and turning from their sin and trusting Christ and having all their sin forgiven, Bible pictures a transformation that takes place in their thinking. It starts with, oh, how could God ever forgive me of all of my sin? It takes root in changing that heart from vindictive to pitiful. Aren't you glad that the Bible says that God pities His children? And so the Lord pictures that the normal is this one who has been forgiven of so much, it would be normal. It would be natural. It would be obvious that they should be able to forgive someone who has done far less. And the truth of the matter is, no one will ever sin against us more than we have sinned against God. No one will do more to us than we have already done to the Lord Himself. And if we have correctly analyzed God's forgiveness, it ought to transform our heart and our mind. It ought to have an effect that would be expected, that would be called mercy. The root of the missionary movement is the mercy of God. And we know the prophet Jonah went to Nineveh and the fact is he wasn't a very good missionary, because he was hoping that God would judge him. And when God forgave him, he was upset. And God had to have a seed sprout and give Jonah some relief from the heat of the sun, and have that plant to then die. And Jonah had pity on the plant that didn't have a soul, but had very little pity on the the souls of Nineveh. Thank you, Scott. It kind of gives us the root of mercy. What is our attitude towards the lost sinners all about us? You know, I'm afraid that sometimes I'm afraid that whatever this so-called church is that has these protests at these funerals, They do not exhibit any sense of the message of the mercy of God. And many times, people in these situations have a harsh spirit that is portrayed. Yes, God hates sin, but He loves the sinner. And the Lord is saying that it is a picture of the reality of the transformation within our own lives of the mercy of God that allows us and transforms us into having pity on lost people. Having pity upon even those who sin against us. Blessed are the merciful. It's the root of the missionary movement. The spread of the gospel. It's the root of what it means to be a Christian. You know, I find that our own human nature is we have a double standard. We want God to forgive us. But man, we want to make sure that God deals with somebody else. That He deals with them to the nth degree. No. Praise God, God isn't like that. God does pity us. And when we turn from our sin and our sinful ways, God, we find, is plenteous in mercy. Blessed are the merciful. Not only is it the root of missions and being able to love people to Christ, not only is it the root of forgiveness in which we can get along with those around us, but the Bible says it's the root of blessing. Because the Bible says, blessed are the merciful. It's a root of God's blessing within one's own life. There is a joy. There is a favor of the Lord. There is a working of God that takes place in and through our lives for the merciful. Oh, it does not change what is wrong. It does not change the sinfulness of sin. But it changes our disposition. It's rooted in thankfulness. It's rooted in personal experience. Be ye kind, tender-hearted, one to another, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You know, being saved isn't something that takes place when you die. Being saved isn't some far-off mystical experience. Being saved is something that takes place right here in this life. When we as sinners turn from our sin, recognizing our sinfulness and our waywardness and our rebellion, turn from our sin and turn to God's provision for our sin, Jesus Christ, and turn to Him as our Lord and Savior, right at that moment, that person turns to Christ their sins are forgiven. Amen. Amazing. Amazing that God could forgive us, lost sinners. Amazing truth that God could love us so much. A truth that we ought never to forget. And each day when we leave our house and we go into this world, God help us to remember that unsaved people are going to act like unsaved people. Just like we did. And just like we needed God's mercy that is available because He pitied our condition and sent the Lord Jesus, even so, we ought to pity those who are lost in sin and seek to be a blessing to them. Blessed are the merciful. Perhaps there's someone right now that you feel a tremendous injustice. I'm wondering, have you forgotten the sin that God has forgiven in your life? Or have all of a sudden you become vindictive, wanting this person to pay to the last farthing, just like this one servant did? Perhaps we need to be reminded of God's mercy to us. Perhaps we need to confess that sin and thank God once again for His mercy to us. We'll find there's a blessing there. Thank God He came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Blessed are the merciful. It is true. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank You today for the mercy of God. Lord, we're thankful for the day that we found Your mercy. And that we found it was full and free. We found it in Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary's cross for our sin. Lord, Thy word makes it clear that that truth should and does transform our whole outlook on life. And if not, we are not bringing glory to Your Son. We have made a glorious thing look very ugly. Lord, I pray that as we are here today, we would be reminded of the fact that You pity us, even in our sin, our weakness, our frailty. As we have gotten ourselves so often into spiritual trouble, we thank You that, Lord, if we will turn from our sin and turn to You, we will find that you're a merciful God. Lord, I pray for that precious soul that is here today that has only heard about the mercy of God. They've never experienced it. They've never turned as a sinner to Jesus Christ to save them, to give them eternal life, to wash away all their sin. Lord, might they, even as the repentant publican, cry out to you, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and find the forgiveness in Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that this truth would stir our hearts, as we can oftentimes require more of others than you have required of us, and forget of your mercy. Help us even to leave this place today with a fresh attitude about sinners all around us. As ones that Christ died for, who cannot do any different until they come to know Jesus as their Savior. Help us to pity them, even as you pitied us. With heads bowed and eyes closed, perhaps today you recognize that the Lord is speaking to your heart in a very special way. Perhaps something that some situation in your own life that is so applicable to this, the Lord has brought. And rather than harboring hard feelings and anger and vindictiveness, the Lord is reminding you of His forgiveness to you and how much He forgave you. And how in the midst of all of that, that your heart should be pitiful and merciful. And God is speaking to you today. And say, Pastor, pray with me, because I believe the Lord has really helped me about an attitude in my life, maybe a situation, and I'm going to give that to the Lord. And I know now how I ought to respond to this situation. And by God's grace, I'm looking to be and respond like Christ would want me to. Anyone here today, God has spoken to your heart. The decision that you need to make in your life. Amen. Number of different hands. Praise the Lord. Okay. Amen. Perhaps you're here today and you don't know what it is, the great rejoicing it is to know that God can forgive all your sins in Christ if you will turn to Him and call upon Him to be your Lord and Savior, meaning it. And that God has spoken to your heart today. You say, you know, I don't know. I cannot point to a point in my time when I trusted Christ and I knew all my sins were forgiven. And yet that's what the Bible's talking about. And you say, you know what? That's what I need to do. I need to turn to Jesus Christ and call upon Him to be my Savior and to forgive me of all of my sins and make me His child. You say, Pastor, that's the need of my life. I need to trust Christ today and be saved. Anyone here today, just lift up your hand. I might pray for you. As we close the service. Now, Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you for the great truth, the great challenge to our own spirit, of our attitude towards you, towards others, towards life. May you work in each heart. May you bless those, Lord, that have seen what you want in their life. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.